This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, أهلا وسهلا. We continue. Before the outbreak, brothers and sisters, we discussed the mas'ala of making dua for the one who pays their zakah. We also touched upon the dignity, the rights with regards to the one who receives zakah. And we touched upon the mas'ala of paying your zakah in advance. Early, no problem with that. Walhamdulillah. We now move on to an important matter, and that is zakah due upon gold jewelry or silver jewelry that the female makes use of? Does she have to pay zakah on this jewelry? Yes or no? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Hadith number 499. وعن عمر ابن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أن امرأة أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعها ابنة لها. Female came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her daughter. وفي يد ابنتها مسكتان من ذهب. And on the hands of her daughter, there were two gold bangles. فقال لها, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, أتعطينا زكاة هذا? Do you pay the zakah on this? قالت لا. She said no. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَيَسُرُّكِ أَنْ يُسَوِّرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ سِوَارَيْنِ مِنْ نَارٍ? Would you be pleased if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts two bangles of fire on you in their place on يوم القيامة? You would have two bangles of fire. Would you like that? And then she took them and she threw them away. فَأَلْقَتْهُمَا She threw them away. Subhanallah. This hadith here, reported by Imam Al-Hakim and others. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Hadith number 500. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها كانت تلبس أوضاحا من ذهب. That أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she would have these like bangles of gold. فقالت يا رسول الله أكنز هو. She said, Ya Rasulullah, is this like a treasure? Allah said in the Quran, we will be punished if we keep these treasures. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, إِذَا أَدَيْتِ زَكَاتَهُ فَلَيْسَ بِكَنْزِ If you sort out the zakah, then it is not a treasure. And some said that this awdah, it means silver. Nonetheless, whether it be silver or whether it be gold, this hadith here indicates to us that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that if you pay it zakah, then it's not a treasure and then there is no problem. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, these two ahadith, the first one, the woman and her daughter with the two bangles of gold, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, do you pay zakah on it? They said, no. Do you want to wear bangles of fire on Yawm al-Qiyamah? They got rid of them. Salama, Ya Rasulullah, you know, would this be regarded as like a treasure for which we will be punished? No. If you pay zakah on it, this gold jewelry, silver jewelry, then all is well. Brothers and sisters, the mas'ala. What is the ruling with regards to gold jewelry? Does one have to pay zakah on it? The female, she wears her ring, she wears the necklace, she has these bangles, masha'Allah. Does she have to pay zakah on it? Yes or no? Take note. We are not talking about the value of the necklace. We are not talking about the value of the pendant. We are not talking about the value of the bangle. Because the value of that bangle includes the value of making and the style, etc., etc. That there does not filter in when it comes to zakah. Zakah, we are talking about whether zakah is due upon its weight. So you might have a gold necklace, you might have bought it for 20,000 rands, but its gold value might only be 10,000 rands. So the gold value, that's what we're discussing. Do you have to pay zakah on this gold value, the weight of the gold? The ulama have differed into two opinions. The first opinion being the opinion of the Hanafi scholars. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the scholars of the Hanafi madhab. They use hadith number 499 and hadith number 500 as their proof that zakah is due upon the gold jewelry that the female makes use of. Why? They said, because of the hadith. Do you want to wear bangles of fire on Yawm al-Qiyamah? This would be regarded as treasure if you do not pay zakah on it. These two are hadith, clear, explicit, that you need to pay zakah on it. And in fact, hadith number 499 with regards to the bangles of fire, that's the strongest proof with the Hanafi scholars that zakah is due upon gold and silver jewelry. But this hadith, there's great debate with regards to its authenticity. There are those who said that it is Hassan, who said it is acceptable, Imam al-Nawawi, Shaykh al-Albani. There are others who said that it is Sahih, Ibn Mulaqin, Shaykh Ahmed Shakir, Imam al-Sana'ani. But we find that the overwhelming majority of the muhaddithin of the opinion that it is weak. We'll touch upon that insha'Allah. So the Hanafi scholars, first proof, that number one, the ahadith on the topic. Number two, they mentioned the story of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had asked that, we're supposed to pay zakah on this hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood, that if you don't pay zakah on it, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then it is your share of the fire. If you have gold and silver jewelry, and if you do not pay zakah on it, then technically it is your share of the hellfire. And this hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. Also, the other narration by Imam Al-Bayhaqi, that there is no issue in wearing gold, reported from Aisha, there is no issue in wearing gold if you pay it zakah. Then similarly, the general text of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ, those who hoard gold and silver, etc., etc., Surah Tawbah, verse number 34. The general ahadith and general verses of the Qur'an which indicate that we should pay zakah upon gold. And they looked at the metal. The Hanafi scholars looked at the metal. This is gold and it is silver, and so irrelevant whether you use it, whether you don't use it, you need to pay zakah on it. And as we said, this is the opinion of the Hanafi school of jurisprudence. It's also the opinion related from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It's also the opinion of Ibn Hazm, the Zahiri scholar, Imam al-Sana'ani, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah. So this is the first opinion, the opinion that one needs to pay zakah upon gold and silver jewelry that one makes use of. Why are we always mentioning that one makes use of? Because if you're not making use of it, if it's kept there, or you have broken pieces of gold, etc., everyone agrees you have to pay zakah on it. It's gold and silver jewelry that you make use of, that's where there's a debate. Why there's a debate? Let's see. Because number one, majority of the ulama, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, they state that there is no zakah due upon the gold and silver jewelry that you make use of. Why? They said because we have those ahadith which exclude items which are of a personal nature. There's no zakah upon your horse, no zakah upon your slave. Anything that you make use of, it is not zakatable. Your gold and silver jewelry, it's like your iPad, it's like your phone, it's like your car, it's like your footing and fixtures. Like, for example, your curtains in your house. You make use of all of this, that's the common denominator. And so, no zakah due upon it. Gold and silver jewelry, you're making use of it. And so, there is no zakah upon it. That's the first proof. Second proof, the hadith reported by Imam al-Darqutni, which although has some weakness in it, لَيْسَ فِي الْحُلِيِّ zakah. There is no zakah due upon gold and silver jewelry. Number three, they state that there is no authentic proof that we have to pay zakah upon gold and silver jewelry. As for the proofs that you've come with, O Hanafi scholars, they answered, they said, well, those ahadith have weakness in them. Those ahadith have weakness in them. And the basic rule is that nothing's an obligation upon me until it is proven that it's an obligation upon me. So that's proof number three. Proof number four, they said, we have 100% five of the Sahaba who stated that there is no zakat due upon this gold and silver jewelry. From amongst them, Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, Ibn Umar radiallahu an, Anas radiallahu an, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That same Aisha, that we had those other reports, we know from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that she had these orphans that she used to look after, and she would not pay any zakah on their jewelry, as mentioned in the Muwatta of Imam Malik. And Aisha's sister Asma, also of the opinion that there is no zakah due upon gold and silver jewelry. So there's also no clear bayan from the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this matter, no clear cut ahadith, etc. about this matter. They also state, as Hassan al-Basri said, that none of the Khulafa al-Rashidin used to collect zakah upon gold and silver jewelry. لا نعلم أحد من الخلفاء قال في الحلي زكاة. He said, we do not know any of the Khulafa who stated that zakah is due upon gold and silver jewelry. And majority of the scholars looked at the usage of this gold and silver jewelry. It's jewelry. It's not like a gold bar. It's not like some other gold piece kept for investment or kept under your bed. No, this is gold and silver that I am using. It is jewelry that I'm using. So they looked at the usage. Whereas the Hanafi scholars looked at the metal. The metal is those type of metals that zakah is due upon. So the Hanafis obliged zakah upon it. Similarly, majority of the scholars counted. They said that, oh Hanafi scholars, that if I have many cows, but I use these cows, I use them to plow my fields, you also agree with me that although technically cows could be one of those zakatable assets, falls under cattle, but because I'm making use of this cow, it's no longer zakatable. Same with the gold and silver jewelry. Because I'm making use of it, it now turns into a personal item. And majority of the scholars also stated that technically, if a female does not have any other wealth and she's only got this gold and silver jewelry, then every year she would need to sell a portion of it to offset the zakah. And eventually it's going to eat up that entire necklace, entire bangle, etc. So they said this doesn't really make sense. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. They also counted the proofs of the Hanafi scholars. And they said that those verses that you've come with, they are general verses. They're not talking about gold and silver jewelry. As for the ahadith that you've come with, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Ibn al-Arabi and others, they said those ahadith are not authentic. In fact, Imam al-Tirmidhi said, لا يصح في الباب شيء. There is nothing authentic with regards to ahadith about obliging zakah on gold and silver jewelry. They also mentioned that this woman, she had these bangles here. The gold was very little, so that gold would not have reached the nisab amount. So they began to find faults in that hadith. So they said it doesn't make sense. Also, the Prophet ﷺ did not question that woman with regards to the hole, with regards to the lunar cycle. Zakah obviously needs the lunar cycle. So, you know, where's her lunar cycle? Also, she threw it away. And so they said that zakah is only 2.5%. How come she's throwing this entire thing away? So these are all deficiencies in this hadith, which does not make it stand on its own two feet. And Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this opinion that zakah is not an obligation upon gold and silver jewelry that the female makes use of, it's the opinion of majority of the ulama, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, those companions that we already mentioned. It's the opinion of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, opinion of Ibn al-Qayyim, Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam al-Shawkani, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that great caliph of the Muslims, Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam, as he is called, the Imam of Amwal, the Imam of Wealth, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, when we talk about gold and silver jewelry, we've now discussed first opinion of the Hanafis, you must pay zakah. Second opinion of majority, you don't have to pay zakah. The ordinary layman out there, what's the safest thing for you to do? What's the best option for you? The best option, safest thing for you, alhamdulillah, is to pay your zakah and pay zakah on this gold and silver jewelry. And if somebody does not want to, if somebody is not paying, don't make an issue, don't make a scene about the matter. Why? Because that's the opinion of majority of the ulama, even Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as we had learned, walhamdulillah. When they talk about making use of it, even if it be just once a year, even if it be just once a year, because nobody walks around with the fanciest of jewelry, you know, walking down the middle of town. No, no, you only wear this during those famous and those special occasions rather. Some ulama, subhanAllah, they said that zakah is only due upon it once in one's lifetime. Some of them said, no, the zakah upon gold and silver jewelry is to lend it out. But the famous two opinions, zakah is due upon it, Hanafi opinion, zakah is not due upon it, majority opinion. Take note that majority of the ulama who said that you don't have to pay zakah on it, but they put certain conditions. They said, for example, it must not be exorbitant amounts of gold and silver that you are wearing. For example, somebody is wearing 2.5 kilograms of gold on their neck. This here would be zakatable. Why? Because it's like a rukhsa. It's like, you know, like a concession given to you because you make use of this gold and silver, then there's no zakah on it. But if you are going into excessive amounts, then we must oblige zakah upon yourself. They also mentioned that it must be of halal use. And so if the guy has gold and silver jewelry, he is not supposed to have this. He has to pay zakah on that. He has to pay zakah on that. Why? Because the concession applies to that which is halal, not to that which is haram. And also, as was mentioned, broken pieces of gold, you got it kept there in some cupboard, etc. You're not using it, you're not making use of it, then zakah is due upon that. Why? Because that is similar to having a gold bar. That is similar to having, you know, this bullion, etc. And that is similar to like your Kruger coins. All of this is zakatable upon the weight of gold that it contains. Walhamdulillah. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we've discussed the mas'ala of whether zakah is due upon gold and silver jewelry from all angles, various opinions, walhamdulillah. Before ending off, we will touch upon one last mas'ala, and that is the issue of shares. So many have shares, and remember, when it comes to shares, you have companies who their primary dealing is that which is halal, and everything related to their business also halal. Investing in that type of company, purchasing shares, no problem at all. Then you have companies where the primary objective is something which is haram. Haram, subhanAllah. So for example, they are involved in the manufacturing of alcohol, etc. Jayid, haram. Investing in that type of company would be obviously haram. Having the shares of that company would be haram. Then you have a whole bunch of companies in the middle that their primary business is something which is halal, but they also have a lot of riba investments. They also have other types of haram monies which come into the business. And then here the scholars state, it is permissible to purchase shares of those companies with the condition that you purify your wealth. And then they differ with regards to what's the percentage of haram in the company that would be allowed, some went with 5%, some went with 30%, etc. Nonetheless, they all oblige purification of your wealth because you have a share in the company which earns through a percentage of haram. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. For example, you are investing in a halal company, MashaAllah. So you've got shares. Do you pay zakah on these shares? The contemporary scholars have differed with regards to this mas'ala in great debate, mashallah. And one finds that the dominant opinion, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is as follows. If one purchased shares as an investment, I'm not interested in selling these shares. I just bought these shares. I want to keep these shares. I want to earn dividends on these shares. That's what I want. Every year I'm getting some money, maybe monthly, maybe annually. I am earning dividends on these shares. There's also capital gains, but I'm more interested in the dividends. I'm not interested in selling. That's the most important matter. I'm not a trader. I'm investing. I'm buying for investment. Then here, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, if you want to go the difficult route, technically your share represents a percentage ratio of that company. If that company has it has fitting and fixtures, it has liquid, it has debts, it has zakatable assets, it has non-zakatable assets, etc. If you want to go the precise, rather difficult method of calculating your zakah, then you look at the percentage ratio of zakatable assets in that company. For example, if the value of the share is, let's say, 10 rands, and if we find that the non-zakatable assets in the company are 10%, non-zakatable assets are 10% and zakatable assets are 90%, then technically you only need to pay zakah on that share which is at the value of 10 rands. You only need to pay zakah on 9 rands of that 10 rand share. Why? Because only 90% of that share value translates and equals the zakatable assets of that company. And in reality, this requires looking at the balance sheet and this and that, etc., rather difficult at times. And so many of the scholars then state, just work out zakah on the book value of that share. On the book value of that share. Call the company, look at the records, the paper. What's the value of that share currently? Then you pay zakah 2.5% of the value of that share. And the dividends, whenever you get the dividends, obviously, they are added to your normal zakatable assets, cash, etc. And whatever remains will be zakat sorted out at the end of the year. Walhamdulillah. So with regards to shares, the first category, the one who buys shares as an investment to earn dividends, you pay zakah on the dividends when you receive them, when they are added to your normal wealth. And you also pay zakah upon the book value of that share. Why? Why, subhanAllah? Because that represents zakatable assets in that company. Some, for example, have said, no, you only pay zakah on the dividends and not on the principal, not on the investment. In reality, that's not the dominant opinion of the ulama. Why? Because technically that's liquid that you've put there and it represents zakatable assets in that company. And if that company is not paying any zakah, then technically you need to pay zakah on that wealth. Second category, the one who trades in shares. He's not interested in any dividends. No, he buys and sells shares every day, buying something, selling shares. Then these shares are just like somebody who sells cell phones, somebody who sells books. It's trading stock. Here you do not look at the book value of the share, but rather you look at the market value of the share. What does that share go for in the market? Remember, you might have bought the share at a certain price. Its book value today with the company is such and such. Example, you bought shares at 10 rands. Today its value is 20 rands. But in the market, it's being sold for 50 rands. If you're a trader, you need to work out zakah upon the current market value, which is 50 rands. And if you're the investor, then you look at the book value, which is currently 20 rands. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah bless the zakah payers and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them an increase in their wealth. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, this is a pillar of the religion. Sort it out. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. As we say for salah, pray before you are prayed over. Then with regards to zakah, do not mise. You never know what might happen. Pay your zakah and may Allah save you from becoming and being put in a position where you become the zakah recipient. Allahumma musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah, grant us knowledge which is beneficial, and grant us the best in whatever remains of this beautiful month of Ramadan. حياكم الله هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.